All right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Cash Patel has been confirmed. They put it off as long as they possibly could, but they could put it off no longer. He was confirmed by every single Republican, with the exception of Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. And we'll never get rid of Collins because she's in a blue state. So she's just a shill to falsely represent the conservatives that are actually there. But Murkowski can easily be replaced in Alaska. Even with ranked choice voting, they can still do it because she simply inherited that seat from her daddy, just like Hunter Biden with his daddy on the WhatsApp and all that stuff. So, I mean, she needs to go. Murkowski's got to go. Alaskans, if anybody knows any Alaskans, maybe you're from Alaska watching this right now, you've got to get rid of this person. She is not in any way, shape, or form a conservative. Not only is she not a conservative, she certainly is not MAGA. She's got to go. Even Mitch McConnell voted for Cash Patel. And as we said last night, he voted so that Cash Patel could be voted on. So, and then voted for Cash Patel. And he just said, Mitch McConnell, of course, announced today that he is not running for re-election. So we're going to have to watch very closely because one of the big names that's come out, I can't remember the name right now, but I'll know it by tomorrow, that's looking to succeed McConnell is Mitch McConnell's personal choice. That is not who needs to succeed Mitch McConnell in the great state of Kentucky, which, of course, is falsely represented by its own governor, Andy Beshear, is a globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist moron. And we can't. And so Kentucky's just so falsely represented because it is a deeply red state. Went to Trump, I don't know how many votes, but it needs to be properly represented. Certainly not by a Mitch McConnell acolyte or a Mitch McConnell copy, but it needs to be represented by a legit conservative. So we need to be eyeballing that race coming up in 2026. This is Mitch McConnell's last year in office. All right, let me say it to everybody in the chat. Sixlin is on. Dave Satters is on. Granite 2468 is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Milwaukee James is on. Deb Plant is on. Deb New 2011 is on. Just Fact is on. Conservative Waffles on. Let me see. SCWA Ratcliffe 1965 is on. KGP Co. is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. Sheila K is on. Waterline 48 is on. 46 is on. Salty Gonads is on. Peg McGroin is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. JD Wool is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Judy Anita is on. Sun Woo 45 is on. Joens is on. K4 VMS is on. Mike Griffith is on. DC 941 is on. Golfmaster 1 is on. Let me see. Keeper 1376 is on. Robin Aroni is on. Sexy Pony's on. Luann 5 is on. A. Wethy is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Confederate One is on. My Broken Heart is on. Milwaukee James is on. The Picket Fence is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Lisa Kinzer 1960 is on. Conservative Warrior 65 is on. Let me see here. Hassle Free TV is on. Ambully's on. Clean Sanchez is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Luann 5 is on. Mom for Boys is on. Let me see. Scooter 8887 is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Scooting down. TJ T1 is on. Vicky Lynn is on. Producer Aaron is on. PD Frank 1964 is on. Uncle Wally is on. The Great 8 T1AU is on. All right. Supergirl 21 is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Hope you're doing good. All right. So Cash Patel is now the head of the FBI, is director of the FBI. There are so many things as they pop into my head tonight. I'll probably end up talking to them, but I've got to get to my vaccine section, especially because Trump is now talking about outlawing the COVID-19 vaccination.
Wow.
I mean, it's big.
Yeah.
It couldn't be going any better than it is because Trump just had Albert Bourla at the White House. I don't know why he was there, but he was there. So CEO of Pfizer, for those of you who don't know, which I'm pretty sure all of you do, but he's talking about outlawing the vaccines, the COVID-19 vaccinations, because, you know, for the last 4 years of 15 days to fly on the curve, people have been in his ear telling him these things. So, but anyway, back to Cash Patel. There's so many things that he's going to need to look into, and I'm sure that he will. But we have to make sure that we don't avoid things that have lost steam. Okay, there's not a lot of steam behind the Hillary Clinton emails, but they need to be looked into. There's not a lot of steam behind the 2020 election, but that needs to be looked into, or it's going to happen again. There's not a lot of steam behind the false accusations of Navarro, Bannon, Flynn, Stone, Matt Gaetz, not a lot of steam behind those things right now because all of us are rightly very excited about the positive things. But when you're director of the FBI, you're really in a non-political position. He doesn't need to go out there every day and campaign. So you can stay behind the scenes, and he needs to be looking into these things or they're going to happen again. I mean, you look at the epitome of hypocrisy and its hierarchical hypocrisy from Adam Schiff. He's probably the biggest vocal opponent to the appointment of Kash Patel. And this is a guy with a 10-year preemptive pardon, and for the first time really in history since Nixon. And before Nixon, there were none. So it's really kind of the first time in history, second time in history since the 1970s, that we've even had preemptive pardons. And Schiff is walking around with a preemptive pardon talking about how unqualified Kash Patel is. I don't believe Kash Patel has ever been the recipient of a preemptive pardon. But like Adam Schiff and his false reading of the Ukraine phone call into the record of Congress needs to, when he made up his own version of the phone call from Donald Trump to Volodymyr Zelensky and the whole Ukraine, the entire Ukraine hoax, impeachment hoax, that needs to be investigated. Adam Schiff needs to be criminally prosecuted for these things. And we cannot lose our fervency for prosecutions, because I'm telling you, it's either prosecute them or you will be prosecuted. It's as simple as that, as we have now learned. The rules have changed. They have changed since 2015 for the last 10 years, for a decade. The rules have changed ever since John Brennan decided to bump dozens of Trump campaign officials from the CIA headquarters in Langley, decided to bump them. That's the genesis of the collusion hoax. Yes, you had the Hillary Clinton, you know, hiring a Fusion GPS. I mean, of hiring a Perkins Coie, Mark Elias, and then of course Fusion GPS, Christopher Steele, Igor Danchenko, all of that angle too, because there's many tributaries to that river. And where it actually began, nobody actually knows, but it began with the CIA and it began with Hillary Clinton. All those people need to be criminally charged. Christopher Steele needs a warrant issued for his arrest. And maybe they won't allow him to go from the UK, but he needs a warrant issued for his arrest, because he's perjured himself numerous times, not in our courts, but at least in theirs, and he needs to be criminally prosecuted. And there's so many other areas. Of course, everybody behind the Mar-a-Lago raid needs to be criminally prosecuted. Everybody behind Jack Smith's investigations and Jack Smith himself and Tanya Shutkin need to be criminally prosecuted. At minimum, when I say prosecuted, I'm encompassing both investigation and prosecution. If it turns out they didn't commit any crimes, fine, I'm fine. I want pure transparency. I want pure honesty, pure integrity. We're not like the Democrats. If nobody committed an actual crime, we're not going to conjure up a crime and drag them into a red jurisdiction and try them for a crime that doesn't exist. Alvin Bragg needs to be criminally prosecuted. Matthew Colangelo needs to be criminally prosecuted. Lisa Monaco, Merrick Garland needs to be criminally prosecuted. Christopher Wray needs to be criminally prosecuted. Those that caused the Fed insurrection on 160 need to be criminally prosecuted. And I know about, and I just forgot his name, Jake Lang, or I can't remember his name. But anyway, the 160 guy that got kicked out of CPAC. Some of you might be wondering, why hasn't Tom spoken about that? Because I wait on those stories. Because I wait to see what exactly happened. For those of you who've never handled police calls in your life, it is never exactly what you think it is when you arrive on scene. It never is. You have to investigate. You have to see what's actually going on. I don't know what happened. I don't know if someone shot their mouth off. I don't know what happened yet. We'll find out as time goes on. And if he was just summarily kicked out of CPAC, then we'll have to, you know, for absolutely no reason, then we'll have to address it and see what the deal is with it and go from there. Because I don't know, and I don't agree with rejecting J6ers. Here's my thing, though. I want you, everybody, to understand, I've always had a very balanced approach when it comes to J6. I know that it was caused and instigated by Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, Muriel Bowser, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, it's a Fed insurrection, Christopher Wray, NGOs, the State Department, Antony Blinken. I know all that, and I know that it was a Fed insurrection. But there were still conservatives that did stupid things. I mean, we all need to acknowledge that when you see a broken window, there's glass everywhere. Aaron, should you crawl through it or not?
Probably not.
Probably not, okay? Because it's been broken.
Yeah.
All right? And, you know, that's the whole thing. No matter what, you shouldn't be crawling through the window. Ashley Babbitt never should have been shot, but she never should have been where she's at either. Okay? I mean, that's just the way that it is. It doesn't exonerate Michael Byrd. But it's still, you have to speak honestly and not you know, give sainthood to people who don't deserve sainthood. Because people, if you're sitting at Nancy Pelosi's desk, or you're carrying around the podium from the Senate, Okay, I mean, come on. It doesn't belong. Well, it's the people's house. No, it's no more the people's house than your state capitol. When it's locked, it's locked. It's not yours to enter into. It's the way that it is, folks. It's like a school. A school's yours, right? You paid for it. You break into it in the middle of the night. Is that a crime or is it not? It's a crime. Just to let you know. 25 years law enforcement. So I have a very balanced approach when it comes. Now, anybody and everybody that committed a crime on J6, their sentences never should have been more than a year, and most of them should have been a notice to appear with the release of a $250 fine for unlawful parading. That's 99.9% of quote-unquote criminal offenders. And Matthew Graves, also the D.C. U.S. attorney, needs to be criminally prosecuted for things that he's done. Many of the prosecutors, many of the judges in the 1-6, because even though I admit that there were some people were instigated, but if you entered into the Capitol, listen, I mean, it's through a broken door, okay? If you're invited in, then you got some ambiguity there. But people who committed crimes, but the bottom line is that there's also, you have to be able to have rationale. So if somebody did commit a crime, they should be tried for that specific crime, not conjured up stuff that ends up being overturned by the SCOTUS. Not conjuring up a whole bunch of felonies out of one misdemeanor so that you can make an example out of people and put them in prison for 5 years when they should have gotten a $500 fine. That's what, so no matter what, everybody, anybody and everybody on 1-6, their crimes have long since been paid for. I mean, you got Enrico Terrio in prison for 22 years. He wasn't even in D.C. He didn't even commit a crime of any kind. So just always have a balanced approach to it. So my point in all of that is saying, I don't know what happened at CPAC. I'm not a huge CPAC fan. Tends to be institutionalized Republicanism, but Elon Musk was there. J.D. Vance was there. Numerous other people. And then a lot of have great people there. Steve Bannon's there right now. Nobody I listen to more than Bannon. I'm just saying that, I have to see what happened with it. All right. So Cash Patel's got to look into all of that stuff. I mean, of course, I told you it's going to pop into my mind for the rest of the show. We got Jeffrey Epstein stuff that he's. I'm hoping that Glenn Beck is correct, and tomorrow we see the Epstein flight log. That's Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck has predicted that was what's going to happen because he talked in person to Cash Patel. So hopefully that's what happened. If Cash Patel can do it, he will do it. We know that he's a man of his word. All right, let's go into some Trump stuff here. Nick Sorter tweet: New CNN has officially been evicted from the Pentagon thanks to Pete Hegseth. My question to Aaron, my question to Will, my question to you is this: why do they ever have an office in the Pentagon? Of course, why does the FBI have an office at Perkins Coie in Washington, D.C.? Why is that exactly? Why would CNN have their own office in the Pentagon so they could cover the Pentagon? They have a Washington, D.C. office. They can drive to the Pentagon. Why are you in? Guess who's paying for this office, Aaron? Can you guess?
Me.
Oh, that would be you, Aaron. Congratulations. and then they trashed the office, of course, and as Nick Shore writes, and of course, they trashed their office on their way out. And guess who gets paid for that, Aaron?
I do.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you can just say me over and over again. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, so again, we get to pay for this. We get to pay for their entrance in. We get to pay for their vandalism. And we get to pay for all of their lighting and all of their electricity while they're in the Pentagon. Why are we paying for a private media firm to be housed inside of the Pentagon? But anyway, Hegseth, it doesn't matter. Trump administration is doing right. Pete Hegseth kicked him out. Exactly what should happen. All right, next one. Rapid response video. White House press. Right out, White House Deputy Chief of Staff talking about what Trump's doing at the border. Play it for me.
Today, it is officially the law of the land at the conclusion of the congressional notification process that 6 Mexican cartels and 2 transnational gangs, Tren de Aragua, or TDA, and MS-13, so 8 organizations in total, are now formally designated as foreign terrorist organizations, which means that every single member of those organizations who operates on U.S. soil is now, as a legal matter, a terrorist, and they will be treated as terrorists. This is a sea change in U.S. policy, and this means the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security, along with the rest of U.S. law enforcement and the Department of Defense, are now operating in a legal reality where these cartels are recognized as terrorists, and there will be a whole-of-government effort to remove these terrorists from our soil and to degrade their ability to threaten or undermine any American security or sovereignty interests. Border crossings, since the day he took office, are down 95%. I think it's almost impossible to even describe the scale and scope of that achievement. President Trump within days of taking office, cut border crossings 95%. And those few who have dared to cross are being either prosecuted or deported. They're either facing significant jail time for trafficking, smuggling, harboring, aiding, impeding, or they're being immediately removed from our soil. Either way, at the end of the process, they are going home. He's re-implemented Remain in Mexico, and he has obtained historic cooperation from foreign countries all around the world in accepting their deportees back. And he has used the United States military to fully seal the southern border with a historic deployment of both active duty and National Guard troops, resumed the building of infrastructure. He has opened up Guantanamo Bay, and he's using military aircraft to carry out deportations all across this country. And ICE is joining with ATF, DEA, and FBI to carry out the largest deportation operation in American history. The criminals are going home. The border is sealed shut. America is safe, sovereign, proud, and free. We are a nation that everyone in the world understands all across this planet. You do not come here illegally. You will not get in. You will go to jail. You will go home. You will not succeed. This is the biggest and most successful change in any area of law enforcement that this nation has ever seen, and he did it in under 1 month. Thank you.
Yeah, 1 month. 1 month, that's it, and the border was sealed pretty much shut in 3 days. And you can pull up numerous videos on Twitter right now, probably every social media outlet out there. They're currently building the wall at a rapid pace, too. I mean, it couldn't be any better. Can you imagine being a Democrat right now? Imagine being a Democrat, because in order for you to be against this, you have to be for Trende Agua. You have to be for MS-13, because now Trump has designated 6 cartel organizations and 2 gangs, the 2 gangs, MS-13 and Trende Agua, as terrorist threats. They are now considered to be terrorist organizations. So now they can be targeted by the United States Marine Corps. They can be targeted by the United States military, because they have been designated terrorist organizations inside and outside the United States. And of course, the president of Mexico comes out today and says, you know, the United States is not allowed to carry out military operations in the continental, you know, Mexican, you know, in Mexico. What are you going to do? That's how you have to think along those lines now. We are in a war that is governed by law. We are in a world that is governed by lawlessness. So here's the thing. You need to reach across the border. We did it in Pakistan, right? Did we not do it in Pakistan with SEAL Team 6? Did we not go in there into Pakistan and get Osama bin Laden? Did we ask permission to go to Pakistan? No. Aaron likes it when I go, no. No. So you know what? I don't care what the president of Mexico says when she says we can't conduct military operations inside of Mexico. You know, screw you. We'll do whatever you want. You've been conducting paramilitary operations inside the United States by flooding our borders with illegal migrants. So, you know, we'll do it inside your country, too. We got a good target in there for an A-10 attack warthog. It's going down, baby. And, you know, we didn't have to ask permission in Pakistan. We're not asking permission in Mexico. You don't like it, then you know what? Stop trading with us. And we'll miss out on 0.08% of our economy by not trading with you. No problem whatsoever. So this is a great thing. And just imagine being a Democrat, because you would have to be opposed to the border being 95% shut. I thought we needed a comprehensive border reform. You know, like, Tom, you always talk about this. Yeah, I know, but it's gone up from 93 to 95 now. I thought we needed this. I thought we needed Cuckboy Lankford's, again, Republican out of Oklahoma. I thought in cooperation with Chucky Schumer in their border security bill, I thought we needed comprehensive border reform. No, all you need to actually do is enforce the laws that are already on the books, and one of them that isn't even on the books, and that is that your border is yours, and it's always secure. Nobody's ever allowed to cross your border. It's actually a military operation to illegally cross your border, and you're allowed to close your border with or without force as you see fit. So, I mean, imagine being a Democrat right now, because you would have to be in favor. If you're against Donald Trump, that means you're in favor of not designating Trende Agua a terrorist organization, or MS-13, or the 6 cartels as terrorist organizations. That means you're not in favor of the border being 95% shut. That's what Jamie Raskin has to run on right now. That's what he has to run on. All right, let's go next. Let's go to Ukraine for a little bit. This is a little sideshow from Ukraine, but it's a story I didn't know about till today. Most of you probably already knew about it, but I didn't know about it. Tucker Carlson Network video. Rest in peace, Gonzalo Lira. This is the United States citizen reporter that was killed in Ukraine. Play for me.
One thing most Americans didn't get a lot of was actual news from Ukraine. What was it like to live there? What was happening inside that country that we were supporting and paying for? But on social media, there were a few people reporting from within Ukraine, and one of them was an American citizen called Gonzalo Lira.
The Russian economy is sailing on, sailing on. The European economy, people are starting to die of hypothermia in the UK. And so everything that the West has thrown at the Russians has boomeranged right back at them.
So what happened in Gonzalo Lira? Well, for posting that video and others like it, he was arrested by the government of Ukraine, the one that we pay for. And then he was let out, and then he tried to leave the country.
I will definitely be sent to a prison labor camp where I will most certainly die. And my intention is to cross the border and get to Hungary. And in Hungary, I'm going to ask for political asylum. So either I will cross the border into Hungary in the next couple of hours, or I will be arrested again. And God knows what will happen to me.
He never made it. 5 miles from the Hungarian border, 5 kilometers, rather, from the Hungarian border, he was arrested. The Biden State Department is uninterested in the fate of this American citizen. In fact, of course, they support his imprisonment. And no one in the national media seems interested in his fate whatsoever.
Now, of course, that was done during the Biden administration, not during the Trump administration. We all know what would have happened if we had an imprisoned reporter, a United States citizen inside of Ukraine right now. He would have been released before Trump even took office out of fear of Trump. We know that. So this was all on before Trump was around. So here you have a report. Now, remember, and I know all of you hear this all the time on this podcast, but we're supposed to go fight for the democracy in Ukraine. We're supposed to send, Trump says now, $350 billion is what's been spent in Ukraine. $250 at least from us. To go fight for democracy against the evil invasion of the non-democracy authoritarian dictatorship of Russia, which arrests far less people for speech than Great Britain, who wants to fight in Ukraine for democracy. So we were supposed to go fight for a democracy that arrests a reporter for daring to say that the Russian sanctions weren't working. That's what we've been saying here, that the sanctions against Russia, whether it was the seizure of all of their billions of dollars in USD or the various economic sanctions, they weren't working. You know why? Because they're in partnership with China, because Joe Biden drove them into the hands of the largest country in the world. So, of course, the sanctions aren't working. They're also not working because USAID money still makes it into Russia. And they're not working because Germany, who wants to fight in Ukraine and now has pulled out and said they don't want to fight in Ukraine, because Keir Starmer is talking about putting troops in kind of a demilitarized zone inside of Ukraine or on the periphery of Ukraine for some sort of peacekeeping mission. And Germany said, no, thank you. By the way, it's developing in the last 2 days. And Germany said, no, thank you. I wonder why Germany would say no, thank you to that. Because Germany receives most of their oil from Russia. But they want to fight in Ukraine against Russia for the sake of democracy in a country, Ukraine, that kills reporters for saying that the sanctions against Russia weren't working. So he's dead now. Go to the next one for me. Here's this last tweet that he put out. Right now, I'm about to try to get out of Ukraine and seek political asylum. And this is his last ever communication. Either I'll cross the border and make it into safety, or I'll disappear by the Kyiv regime. Okay, I thought they were, okay, so no media except for one TV station is dedicated to Zelensky propaganda. He has 4% approval in the polls. No media, no opposition media, no opposition parties. All 11 have been banned. No Orthodox church and no elections. Does that have any traits of a democracy? It's just like when they call you and I Nazis, when we have no traits of being Nazis, and the people who are calling us Nazis have all the traits of being Nazis. So he was detained, taken to a work camp, hasn't been seen since. Go to the next one for me. Elon Musk tweet, Zelensky killed an American journalist. There you go. That's just the truth. And Zelensky and Trump are in this feud right now. Because Zelensky can see the walls are actually closing in because the United States is about to pull out. And Germany has just said, you know, we're not going to support Keir Starmer putting troops in, because the people who started this war were the British government and the United States government ginning this whole war up using Boris Johnson to do so after there was already a settled agreement where Ukraine said, you know what, we're not going to go into NATO. And Vladimir Putin said, that's all I need. That was the end of the war. 5 days after the war started, it was already over. But Great Britain, via Boris Johnson, stoked the war, made it keep going on and on. Again, all of these people benefit from the money that's being spent on this war and the money that will be spent in Ukraine to rebuild Ukraine via the IMF. All right, so let's go to another disaster area, shall we? This is via Alex Jones. Breaking exclusive, Alex Jones and Rebel News Network, Ezra Levant. Breaking exclusive, homeowners devastated by manufactured Maui wildfires. Oh, Tom, that's old news. How long ago was Maui? What was it, a year and a half ago? Something like that, a year ago? I can't remember.
Yeah, something like that.
Over a year. So, breaking exclusive, homeowners devastated by the manufactured Maui wildfires. And, of course, Tom, manufactured. How dare Alex Jones say that? Because you know why? You know why Alex Jones is saying that they were manufactured? You know why? Because they were. I mean, again, let's look at the amount of coinky-dinky, shall we, coincidences? Just like Southern California, the water was turned off. That's weird. All the people fleeing Maui, Lahaina, trying to flee Maui, were actually turned back into the fire by the police. School was somehow canceled and all the kids were home. The alarm system was turned off. So the water's turned off. The alarm system's turned off. You have the person who's in charge of the Maui investigation is the same person in charge. It happens to be the police chief in Lahaina is the same person in charge of the mass shooting in Las Vegas that was never resolved. And we still know nothing about that. Not one thing. We don't know one thing about one of the biggest mass shootings in American history. Not one thing. Does anybody? I don't know anything. Do you? That's why we have Kash Patel now. Hopefully Kash Patel will reveal it. So it's just a whole lot of coincidences. So you end up with American citizens standing out in the surf to survive the fire. And it's very, very similar to, of course, what happened in Southern California, where you have no water and they all know the winds are about to blow. And they have an infrastructure that's in place that cannot handle those winds blowing that are going to spark fires every time. So, but now, okay, we're a year and a half out. This has to be, this has to be resolved, right? Do you know that most people still aren't allowed even on their property in Maui? I'll let the video speak for itself. Play for me.
Those tiny homes, row after row after row, tiny homes, FEMA got those built, but they will not give permits to, and look at those. Those are like little sheds that you'd have in your garden. And this is in the middle of nowhere. Look at these ones. I think these ones actually may be made in China. Do you see, this is where the people in Maui have been placed.
And they've said they have no intention of ever letting them have their property now. And they're going to build all these high-rises, smart city, which they voted down the year before the magic fires.
And there's all sorts of crazy ideas, like having sort of a give it back to nature. There's some people worried that high-priced developers want to come in, take up the gorgeous land near the water. The main message is this. A year and a half in, and there's almost no houses that have been rebuilt, and none look likely. They're pushing the fire refugees up the hill to live in those shacks, to live in those garden sheds when nothing... Yeah, look at that. And nothing is moving down, actually, by the water. And my warning to LA is if you let your Democrats and your bureaucrats run things, you will not be back in your Pacific Palisades land for years. In fact, the LA mayor just said it'll be 3 to 5 years. And Maui suggested it might even be longer. Alex, there really are FEMA camps in Maui. Yeah, look at that. We put our drone up to take a look. Imagine living there.
Aaron, do me a favor, and when you can, mute it and just run it side by side because there's some pictorials I want to focus on as we go. I'm just going to speak about them as we talk. First of all, right there, does that not look like a Chinese/New Zealand COVID camp? Does that not look like the COVID camps that we saw? Because, again, these people, they have one plan. They have different tactics for the one plan, the one narrative, the one agenda, which is to leverage you into a one-world commerce system with a singular access point to all commerce. Tommy, talk about it all the time. Listen, the reason why I talk about it all the time is because it's going to happen. The book of Revelation is going to happen, and you and I are the ones who decide whether or not to stave it off out of our generation. In order to be able to do that, then you have to Revelation 13, 18. You have 13, 16, and 17, which is speaking of the mark of the beast. But he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And then no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Here it is. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So we need to, through understanding, because we're there. Look at that's a camp. Why is there a freaking fence around it? This is a freaking COVID camp, because all they do is duplicate themselves over and over again with their one tactic. They have one agenda, one narrative, but many different tactics. But it all is very similar. Aaron, just scroll it to where there's actually images of the. Just get it to where there's images other than the actual speaker. Yeah, thank you. Just, if it gets back to them, I'm not done. Just take it, go scroll back 30 seconds to the images. Because I just want people to see this, because this looks like Australia in 2021. For people who tested positive for COVID, it looks like China in 2022 and 2021 and 2020 who tested positive for COVID, because this is what these people do. They want you in these camps. And why is Aaron got the date for me? It's 8/8/23. Is when this happened. It's funny how everything's always like in August, because that's when the abomination in Afghanistan happened too. So at Abbey Gate. But anyway, a year and a half later, this is what you have. A year and a half later, it's the best you can do, a year and a half. And nobody's rebuilt their house. According to Ezra Levant, statistically speaking, nobody has rebuilt a house in a year and a half. Nobody. And hardly anybody can even get a permit to do anything. This isn't planned, that the most expensive real estate in the world just happens to, about a year apart from each other, burn to the freaking ground with no water available? And that's all a coincidence? We all know that's not true. It is statistically impossible for the most expensive land in the world to burn to the ground, two pieces of it, burn to the ground in exactly the same way with no water available. And then now a year later, and Karen Bass, when she's sitting there, you can bring it back to me. When she's sitting there in that press conference with Donald Trump, she said, I am going to let people in the next day. Has people been let on their property? No. Nobody's been given a permit to even clear their property. I have not seen that change. I think we ran that story last week. I haven't seen any changes on Twitter, and it would come out on Twitter. There's been no permits in it for anybody to even go onto their properties at Malibu or Pacific Palisades, even clear off their property yet. Not one permit has been issued. They put out memorandums out into the public. And when you take that memorandum to whatever public office that it should apply to, they act like they've never seen it before, send you to another office. That office sends you back to the original office. That's what they do. And all these people are going to vote Democrat again. That's the saddest thing. I'll bet you all the citizens of Lahaina vote Democrat again. I'll bet you they put Mazie Hirono back in the Senate again. So sad. But you know what? Maybe they won't. Maybe they won't. All right, let's go to Doge. Wall Street Apes video. Where am I at? Is that the right one? Am I Wall Street Apes? Okay, here we go. Wow, the Elon Musk and Doge team looking at Medicare. Listen to what this pharmacist says. Play it for me.
Hey, I heard Elon and the Doge team started looking at Medicare, and I found something for them. This medication is pirfenidone. Medicare filled it 85,000 times in 2022 at an average cost of $8,000 per prescription. They spent $680 million on that one drug in just 1 year. However, at my pharmacy, which is a cost-plus pharmacy, meaning we don't take insurance, that same prescription would only cost $200. If we filled all 85,000 prescriptions, it would cost $17 million total. That means Medicare is overpaying by $663 million every year. How do they do that? Well, Medicare contracts with pharmacy benefits managers to tell them how much they should be paying for medications. The problem is, the pharmacy benefits manager gets paid a percentage of the cost. That means the higher the price, the higher their cut. They aren't incentivized to lower the cost. They're incentivized to raise the cost, and they are not shy about it. So it's an easy solution for the Doge team. Cancel the PBM contracts and bring the actual costs back into the equation instead of those nonsense made-up prices that the PBMs use. If you want to see if the PBMs have been raising the cost of your medication, go to forestparkpharmacy.com and look at our price checker to see if we can save you. See ya.
All right, so there's the truth. So the truth, look at where our government's at. If you go and get pirfenidone, all right, whatever that is and whatever it's for, You go get it was prescribed 85,000 times in 2022. Who knows what 2023, 2024, but 85,000 times in 2022. And again, 3 years ago, it was $8,000 per prescription. In this guy's pharmacy, where it's cash only, where you're not going through the government, not going through Medicaid or Medicare, it's $200. So if you go through the government, it's $8,000 per prescription. If you just go through normal capitalism, $200. Now, where did the other $7,800 per prescription go? Because it costs $200 for a bottle of these pills. Costs $200. So there's a $7,800 black hole going somewhere. There's $7,800. Like, it's the example that I always use coming out of COVID, where we spent $7 trillion on COVID, a 99.997% survivable virus. Is it really quarter till already? Holy moly. But anyway, because I got my vaccine stuff I got to get to tonight. Especially because Trump's talking about outlawing the whole thing. Now we're kind of on that subject right now. I got to move. But you got like $7 trillion spent on COVID, but they've only been able to determine that $800 billion was spent on COVID. But I thought you said $7 trillion. That's what they say. Just like 85,000 prescriptions at $8,000 a pop, but they're only $200. They only cost $200. And that's still making a profit. $200 still making a profit. So they probably actually cost $60. So they make $140 profit. So you have $7 trillion spent on COVID, a 99.997% survivable virus that everybody's going to catch anyway outside of Matthew 16:19 when you bind and loose like you should. But anyway, so you spend $7 trillion, but the only amount that they can actually track that was spent on COVID was $800 billion. So where is the $6.2 trillion at? Do we even know? Is that part of the $35 trillion black hole in the Pentagon? The $4.7 trillion black hole from 2000 to 2025? The $2.7 trillion hole that was just found by Doge? Is any of that? So this just shows you exactly how the government works. All right, Doge is moving all over the place, and people are actually doing preemptive strikes. Right here, New York Times Post. CIA plans largest mass firing in nearly 50 years. This is the greatest time of my life. This is the greatest time of my life because they're nothing more than the Gestapo. They're nothing more than the brown shirts for the Democratic Party and the globalist left. CIA plans largest mass firings in nearly 50 years. The possible surge of officers. Now, where are they going to cut all these people? Where are all these people going to be cut from? Well, let's see. The possible purge of officers working, I saw John Ratcliffe, who's CIA director, working on recruiting and diversity. Can you imagine, again, this is an article from the New York Times from yesterday or today. I think today. But you have to be on the side of the CIA. If you're going to be a Democrat, you have to be on the side of the CIA who is responsible for international affairs outside the continental United States to keep America safe, right? To root out terrorism, to spot possible targets even for our military, things like that. People are like, well, what about the coups and stuff? Listen, if you're going to do a coup, and it benefits the United States of America, not your globalist pals, and put in lines your own pockets and doesn't feed the NGOs that feed you. Okay, if you're actually doing coups that secure the United States of America, that's one thing. But they haven't done that for 50 or 60 years. But in order to be a Democrat, you have to be in favor of the CIA keeping on officers for recruiting and diversity. Because the possible purge of officers working on recruiting and diversity comes as the agency moves to comply with the spirit of an executive order banning efforts to diversify the federal workforce. I don't care if you are black, white, gay, straight, whatever, if you're a CIA officer. I care who is the best. The same thing with pilots. I don't care whether you're male, female, gay, straight. Who is the best in the flight simulator? Who's the best? Who scores the highest on all the tests? That's who should be. You know, whoever scores the highest should be the first on the list. Who scores second highest? Second highest. No matter what race, gender, or sexual preference you are. Same thing with the CIA, who's responsible for securing the continental United States outside of the continental United States. So mass firings coming in the recruiting and diversity section of the CIA. Will we ever survive? Because the CIA is not going to be able to operate in diversity anymore. You even knew they were until 5 years ago. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, Matt Van Swole tweet. Breaking, the Trump administration is cutting 85%. I mean, you see what's going on here? This is the greatest time ever to be an American. I'm telling you, it is great. When you actually see an administration cutting 85% of the workforce at HUD, you're like, HUD, how are we going to make without HUD? I'm saying that sarcastically, of course. Aaron, you ever got anything from HUD?
Nope.
Okay, me neither. Not one dime ever. I'm 56. Aaron's 30. I've never got a dime. I haven't got anything. I don't want dimes from the government. I haven't had the government. I didn't have HUD ever help me either. The Trump administration is cutting 85% of the staff at HUD, at the HUD office that funds disaster recovery in Western North Carolina. This comes after HUD promised North Carolina $1.8 billion. Guess how much showed up? Nothing. And you have, again, to be on the left, and I read some leftist responses to this today. They're like, by doing this, Trump is, you know, with hurricane season approaching in 4 months, what are we going to do without these employees? Well, what Trump has done was cut their workforce from 936 employees to 150. Now, they're like, what are we going to do? Do you think that these 936, it's 936 employees, Trump's cutting it down to 150, just like he did with USAID from 14,000 employees down to 300? And these people are going, what are we going to do now with the when we have these natural disasters? These are the pencil pushers. These are the people that are being cut, are the people that are making sure you have diversity hires inside of HUD. These aren't the people who are down supplying water in disaster areas. These aren't the workers on the ground. These are the people sitting in those marble buildings in Washington, D.C. that are 70% empty because most of these people don't show up to work every day. Most of these people show up to work twice a month, the last day of the month and the first day of the month, so they actually only have to show up in town because they live out of town once every 2 months. And they're the ones being cut. And you have Brian Krasenstein. What are we going to do when the hurricane season strikes? These aren't the people down there driving water trucks. That's all contracted via private companies. These are the pencil pushers. I think we can live with 150 pencil pushers instead of 936 pencil pushers. I think we can live with 150 facilitators. These aren't the workers. These are the facilitators. These are the people that are called for the workers. These aren't the rescuers. And most of the rescuers, by the way, are state and local officials. They're not feds. We already saw it. Speaking of Western North Carolina, we played the videos on this podcast of the FEMA response. And I know FEMA and HUD are two different things, but the FEMA response was absolutely abysmal. We have yet to be able to find one video of a FEMA official doing one positive thing in Western North Carolina. Not one video. And the left is, what are we going to do with disaster response? Because Trump is cutting 84% of the staff. He's cutting 84% of the people who are supposed to make phone calls about disaster recovery. Not that people actually conduct disaster recovery. We don't need 936 people. How did it work in East Palestine, Ohio? How'd that disaster recovery work? How did it work down here for the hurricanes? How did HUD work there? You know what? You know why we have a good response for the hurricanes in Florida? Because of Ron DeSantis, certainly not because of the federal government. I've told you 1,000 times, I had a giant piles of hurricane debris sitting right behind me for months. FEMA wouldn't ever come get it. That's their one freaking job. The one thing I ask them for my entire life with the federal government is you actually come and pick up hurricane debris. They don't do that, so we spent $8,000 and did it ourselves. So I have no interest in it. So I mean, that's what it is. Simply Trump cutting the pencil pusher diversity hire and the people hiring diversity hires, cutting that from 936 employees to 150. All right, go to the next one for me. Glenn Beck video. Why was the Tides Foundation, which is a Democratic funding organization, it's all they do is fund Democratic Party campaigns. Why was the Tides Foundation, a progressive dark money machine, receiving your tax dollars? Play it for me.
The names that keep popping up, the Consortium for Elections and Political Process Strengthening, SEPs, where is that? Right here. Okay. They get $165 million of your tax money. Have you ever heard of them? How about East-West Management Institute? Because they're getting $25 million every year. The National Endowment for Democracy and their affiliates like NDI. Right here, $167, $362 million. Then you have Freedom House, which is right here, another $93 million. And oddly enough, we notice that the Tides Foundation, our old friends, show up on the chart, clearly showing the Tides Foundation is receiving U.S. tax dollars. Now, back in the old days at Fox, I showed you the entire purpose of Tides is to be a progressive left-wing dark money machine. It's money laundering, legal, but money laundering nonetheless. You cannot trace money Once it goes in, it goes dark. You can see what's coming out, but you don't know who's giving it. Leftist billionaires, organizations, they all donate to Tide specifically so their money can go dark. So why is the Tides Foundation getting tax dollars? Well, maybe this is a one-off. Let's do a money trail search on Tides and see what pops up. Are they involved in anything else? The Tide Center. Oh, holy cow. Now, this is, again, we're going to find deeper levels here soon. But this is showing the entire money trail for Tides. On the chalkboard, again, I have a few notable ones. Oh, Freedom House, NED, SEPs, East West, Intranews. Wow, they show up again. So they're spreading tax dollars to each other, and then they spit out to places like Soros.
There you go. Now, you just have, you look at this. This is the same thing we've been talking about now since all of this has been revealed. Most of us knew to some in some way, shape, or form this was going on, but now it's all being revealed by Doge, is that what you and I have been a part of, unwittingly have been a part of, all of our lives, is we are paying for our, we're paying for our own political opposition to exist. We're paying for Planned Parenthood to exist. You and I are paying for it. You and I are paying for Democratic Party politicians to be elected. I mean, we all were like, well, we know there's gonna be one or two or three, four or five, whatever many parties, and we're gonna have to win elections. But we certainly never signed up to fund Democrats in elections, correct? That we have been funding the Tides Foundation, which solely and completely funds Democratic Party initiatives and Democratic Party campaigns. And you and I have been paying for it. And again, what happens is the entire thing, our entire lives and what we've thought our government was, is has been a giant mirage, because all our government has done, $36 trillion of debt, we're thinking, some people probably think they're optimists. Well, you know, they're doing that to secure us, to keep us safe from terrorist threats. None of that went to any of that stuff ever. What it went to was NGOs. NGOs like the National Endowment for Democracy, the Atlanta Council, the Tides Foundation, the Brookings Institute. And what those various NGOs do is employ Democrats for multi-million dollar salaries. And then they hire on Democrats. They hire on Democrats for various projects for hundreds of millions of dollars. Then they hire on Democrats for speaking engagements. And then they send money to Democratic Party campaigns, where both the campaigner and the campaigner's spouse and family get rich off of the campaign funds after they form a foundation on using those campaign funds, the leftover campaign funds. J.B. Pritzker is in charge of 53 NGOs. He's a multi-billionaire. Did he become a multi-billionaire via capitalistic means or via our taxpayer dollars? Because that's what all needs to be found out right now when you're dealing with any Democratic Party millionaire or billionaire. We need to find out, did they get those millions from capitalism, or did they get those millions because money was funneled into an NGO that paid for some sort of project that they oversaw that they never would have gotten in natural capitalistic competition? We need to find out in the various other ways that NGOs enrich Democrats and rhino Republicans. Let's look at this one. This one was unreal to me. We had Tosca, right, Will?
Yes, making sure.
All right, Tosca Austin video. Busted, Doge slaps imaginary Georgia governor Stacey Abrams. I'm trying to read it. Joe slaps imaginary Georgia governor Stacey Abrams. This does, okay, the grammar makes no sense. Stacey Abrams in the Doge hot seat. Play for me.
This is breaking. According to the Washington Free Beacon, the Department of Government Efficiency has uncovered a $2 billion grant awarded to a startup nonprofit linked to Stacey Abrams. Power Forward Communities, founded in late 2023, received a massive grant from the EPA's Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund in April of 2024. Before securing the funds, the organization reported just $100 in revenue. EPA Chief Lee Zeldin revealed that the previous administration moved $20 billion to external accounts, limiting federal oversight. If you're wondering who Stacey Abrams is, she's a Democratic political figure from Georgia, and she's known for her work in like voter rights, progressive activism, and political campaigns. So yeah, this story's pretty interesting. I'm going to keep my eye out and let you guys know as the story progresses. And if you guys want the best way to get information directly from me, especially when things are important, I have a newsletter. It's free. The link is in my bio. Just enter your email and you'll get stuff sent to you when it's time.
And so there you go. There it is again. And you're like, Tom, you've already talked. I know, but there's another example. You have money funneled in. Now, why is Stacey Abrams, who doesn't work, the only thing she works at is getting fatter by the day. That's the only thing that she actually ever works at is putting on weight. That's all she ever does. So she gets money sent to an NGO that she's a significant part of called Power Forward Community. She gets it from the Green New Deal, the Inflation Reduction Act, from the EPA. 1.6, I believe it said, or was it, no, it was a $2 billion. So she gets billions of dollars into the Power Forward Community. Has that ever done anything for you? Aaron, how about you? Power Forward Community, has that ever reached out and really changed your life and as a Power Forward Community?
Not yet.
No, me neither. Not one thing. Will, you?
Nope, not even.
Will, you fought in a war. Didn't Power Forward Community ever come and offer you something for fighting in a war?
Nope.
No, you never got anything. But fat, but I guess they're sending Snickers bars to Stacey Abrams, though. So EPA, of course, this is under the previous administration, gives them $2 billion. And I wonder, and Stacey Abrams, again, we're wondering, how does this woman become, I don't know what she's worth, but I'm assuming she was worth millions upon millions of dollars. We're always wondering, how are these people worth all of these millions of dollars? We know it's Nancy Pelosi, it's insider trading. We got that, and probably other NGO things too, funnel a lot of money into Nancy Pelosi. We're finding out now, these people become rich because they are either employed by or affiliated with these NGOs that are solely in existence because of our taxpayer dollars. They're only in existence because they're sent hundreds of millions of dollars. You saw that giant board that Glenn, I love Glenn Beck's board with one bubble after another. That was $10 million, I mean, $60 million a year, $123 million a year. All of these leftist, globalist, bourgeois, elitist NGOs that employ Democrats, that hire on Democrats, that allow Democrats to run their projects for hundreds of millions of dollars or even billions of dollars, just like Joe Biden, like Frank James, I mean, like Frank Biden and James Biden with their various initiatives all around the globe, funneled money through NGOs. So they can go down and you can have, I can't remember whether it's Frank or James Biden, whose son has never built a house in his life, but he runs the NGO that builds the new houses in Iraq where Will fought in a war. So Will goes over there, risks his life to go fight in a war as part of the Marine Corps, an artillery unit. And then Frank or James Biden goes over there to rebuild the houses that Will blew up and to make a profit using NGO funds. That's what our whole world's about. We got dead Marines over there and dead infantry and thousands of them dead in these wars. And then you have all of these leftist, globalist, bourgeois, wine-sipping elitists come in there and profit off of the war via NGOs. And those NGOs are financed by you and me. And we're $37 trillion in debt. And Stacey Abrams gets all of this money. Reports emerging that Abrams attempted to steal $2 billion. This is just from Tuska, Austin. And U.S. taxpayer dollars designated for fledgling nonprofit Power Forward Communities. And then somehow, I guarantee you, she's now a multimillionaire because she's getting paid an exorbitant salary to run in some form or fashion or is employed by Power Forward Communities. And you and I are paying her salaries to get fatter. All right, MAGA Voice video. Look at how much Chuck Schumer is panicking. Play it for me.
Joined by Senators Murray and Merkley, the dynamic M&M duo. How's that?
No, the Northwest.
Northwest dynamic duo. All right, well, this week will mark 1 month since Donald Trump was sworn in as president. In the first month, Donald Trump has waged a scorched earth campaign against the rule of law. And for one simple reason, to give his billionaire buddies a tax break and have the American people pay the cost. House Republicans say one bill. Senate Republicans say two bills. Donald Trump, meanwhile, is changing his mind every hour. Yesterday, Senate Republicans voted to proceed on their budget resolution. But this morning, you saw that President Trump flipped the script again, further sowing chaos. Republicans have talked a big game about flooding the zone, but instead they're drowning in their own chaos and confusion. If this mess Republicans have created for themselves is a preview of how they'll govern, it bodes very poorly for them, but more importantly for the country. Of course, Republicans could do 2 bills, they could do 10 bills, they could do 50 bills, 100 bills. It doesn't make a difference, because the one thing they're united on, the one thing they're trying to get done, House and Senate Republicans, Donald Trump and Elon Musk, is to give their billionaire buddies a tax break and have the American people pay the cost.
Name one so far. Now, we've only been in office for a month, but where are these billionaire tax breaks to their billionaire buddies? Where are these tax breaks to the billionaire buddies? Just show me one. Just show me one. What tax breaks have been initiated? What tax breaks to billionaires have even been spoken of by the Trump administration? I mean, we've already seen it put out with the various House resolutions for no tax on tips, no tax on overtime. Where are these billion-dollar tax breaks? Where are these tax breaks for their billionaire buddies? They have nothing. All they can do is break out their old, worn-out, retread rhetoric. Breaks for their tax breaks for billionaires. Where are these tax breaks for billionaires? Where are they? They're non-existent. It's like what they say. They're attacking the democracy. What democracy? How are we attacking the democracy? Give me a list on how I'm attacking democracy. Donald Trump is committing crimes every day. He's violating the Constitution every day. Give me a list. All I want is a list. Give me a list. Give me a list of these constitutional violations. And I want a list of the tax breaks for the billionaires. I want a list. Show them to me. There aren't any. All he can do is break out his old rhetoric. That's all that they have. Because what Chuck Schumer wants is the NGO money that's paying him, that's paying his families, to just keep on flowing, even if it bankrupts the country. Because he's an older guy, he'll be dead before it bankrupts the country. That's what he's thinking. I'm going to just keep getting rich. It bankrupts him, the country be bankrupt after I'm dead. All right, let me get into at least a couple minutes of vaccination stuff. Because, Aaron, if you could put that one up, I need that one that I sent to you. That pick from Daily Mail. There you go. Just want to put this up here. Daily Mail, COVID vaccine faces ban for all Americans. A radical U-turn from the Trump team. Okay, first of all, you got RFK Jr., who's very anti-COVID vaccination. Got Navarro behind the scenes, very anti-COVID vaccination. And many others. J.D. Vance is vaccinated, but he stopped at the initial vaccination, never took any of the boosters, because he wised up. And we were all kind of wondering about Trump, right? Because Trump was still about midway through the campaign, not even midway through the campaign, the very beginning parts of the campaign. He's still talking a little bit about vaccinations, and he even learned more today, because when he introduced Albert Bourla at a gathering at the White House, he got resoundingly booed by the people in Trump's orbit. So Trump now knows, and Trump knows what's going on. He knows statistical data. Listen, Trump knows Edward Dowd. Edward Dowd, former BlackRock executive who runs the numbers. He knows Peter McCullough. He runs Peter McCullough and Edward Dowd, their numbers slightly vary, but really they're pretty much the same. When you have in the age bracket demographic in the United States, you have a 40% increase in excess deaths. 40% more people are dying between the ages of 30 and 60 than what used to die. I would venture to say that was a problem. Because a 1-in-200-year event is World War II. How many extra people died during World War II? About 10% more died than normal. That's a lot when you have a global population of, at that time, 5 or 6 billion people, right? I mean, you have 10% more people. That's a lot. That's a 1-in-200-year event. In working-class America, between 30 and 60 right now, 40% more are dying than they did pre-vax. See, Trump knows all that. So Trump's thinking, you know what? Because he's not an idiot. He's not. He will never probably come out and say, you know what, in a real sort of clear way that I was wrong about vaccinations, even though he should. But at least these things are starting to happen right now. COVID vaccine faces ban for all Americans, a radical U-turn by Trump team. Hopefully that is what's going to happen. So let's do a little deep dive here in our waning moments. Hopefully I keep it waning moments. It's 10:07, but you know, cannot go to like 10:48 because it's vaccine. But I've got a whole stack on vaccines, and me launching into vaccines at 10:07 is a very dangerous thing to do. Yeah. But I'll try to find a line so that Aaron and Will get home before midnight. All right, so here we go. MJ Truth Ultra video. 911. I'd like to report a murder, is how MJ Truth Ultra put it. Dr. Paul Offit, noted vaccine pimping whore, especially for kids. Dr. Paul Offit's smear campaign against RFK Jr. backfires spectacularly on CNN as Callie Means obliterates and exposes him as a big pharma shill. Play for me.
About childhood vaccines, number one. He talked about electromagnetic radiation, number two. He talked about pesticides. He didn't talk about the things that Callie's talking about here, which is things like obesity or over-medicating children or sugar drinks. I'm all for that. I agree
Everyone
with that.
Should watch.
But you can have
she
both.
Gave a powerful, he gave a powerful speech about these issues. This is what Bobby Kennedy's fighting against, Dr. Offit. As you know, you were the chair at the Children's Hospital, the Merck chair. It was like a NASCAR driver wearing their sponsors. Merck paid your $1.5 million salary. And this is what Bobby's saying, is that fundamentally, pharma can create good innovations, but they're foundationally incentivized for children to be sick. Pharma doesn't make money when children are healthy. The hospitals don't make money when the beds are empty. Chronic disease, just as a demonstrable statement of economic fact, is a great economic invention for the healthcare industry, which demonstrably makes money when patients are sick. And that's an incentive Bobby Kennedy is going hard after. I'm in Florida. I'm in a state senator's office right now. I'm actually lobbying for these state SNAP bills, which Bobby is really supporting, to get soda off of SNAP. I think the problem is that the public health community, the Merck chairs of pediatricians, I mean, that is just insane. Merck does not have children's interests at heart. Merck itself has settled billions of dollars in criminal penalties for misleading and falsifying data in the past 10 years. Like, trust in public health? No, it's the public health leaders themselves. It's people defending with the record that's happening to health at HHS, why cuts are bad. Of course we should make cuts. Of course the personnel should be changed. What's causing distrust in public health authorities is conflict of interest, like Dr. Offit taking millions of dollars from pharmaceutical makers like Merck while approving and recommending pharmaceuticals on ACIP committees. It's the fact that Dr. Offit's saying that science is always settled when he himself has approved vaccines that have been recalled for causing organ failure for kids. And it's the fact that Dr. Offit is talking about measles, which is important. And I want to be clear, Pamela, I don't want to get this out. It's important. But there were 300 deaths from measles a year before the invention of the vaccine. We have 38% of children right now having prediabetes. Bobby is focused on that. He's focused on reorganizing the department. Mm-hmm. And that's what we should be talked about, not this distraction.
Let's go back to front. Well, first of all, they're always talking about Bobby Kennedy is against the measles vaccine. Guess what? He should be, and so should you, because measles is not a problem. You shouldn't alter God's design because of a illness that used to kill an unsanitary America 300 people a year. The year before the measles vaccine came out, 300 Americans died of the measles. We have 30,000 to 80,000 per year die of the flu. And nobody's ever mandated a flu vaccine where you couldn't go to school or buy, sell, trade, or travel without it, right? So we never needed a measles vaccine. You don't want to alter God's design. You don't want to be 600 pounds and obese either, because that's not God's design. But you don't want to alter God's design with a vaccine, especially for an illness that's, statistically speaking, no threat to you. 300 people, this is back in the day, 300 people died where you walked down the street stepping on human feces because the sewers were open and flowing into the streets. Where rats were everywhere. 300 people died. 300 people died a year of everything then. Thousands of people died every year of a common cold and pneumonia. Then they never mandated their vaccinations either, even though we never had a vaccination for a common cold until COVID-19, which coronavirus is the same as a common cold virus, which ever mutating and has an animal host. Therefore, you can never have an extra vaccination for it because it's ever mutating. Gosh, I shouldn't get into vaccines right now. I shouldn't. I absolutely shouldn't, but I'm going to. So then you have Offit, this, and I remember this guy. I believe he was on those channels where they'd be approving, we'd watch the approval for vaccinations. And I believe he was one of those doctors. He would say things like, the science is settled on vaccinations. You're not allowed to argue, you get banned off Facebook. Believe me, I know. And he'd say things like, the science is settled. And then the very vaccines that he says that the science was settled on, kids die from organ failure and they get recalled, but the science is settled. And this guy, he's looking at me, he's perfectly at peace. He's more at peace with himself than I am. I don't know how that works. I honestly don't. I'm not super at peace with myself a lot. I'm really not. I mean, I should be, but I'm not. But these guys are perfectly at peace. I mean, he gets called out right there by Kylie Means. He's saying, you know, this guy's receiving millions of dollars from pharmaceutical companies. How in the world can you be neutral or unbiased in the medical industry when you are solely and completely paid for by the pharmaceutical industry? How can you make unbiased diagnoses when your entire living as a multi-millionaire depends on your contract with pharma, i.e. Merck here with them, who paid his $1.5 million a year salary? And he walks around, he's giving press conferences with his Merck jacket that all the doctors wear. What do you call them?
Lab coat?
Lab coat. Thank you. His white lab coat. It's got Merck on it. Like Kylie Means says, like a NASCAR sponsor. And he's going to make decisions in your best interest, or is he going to make decisions for his financial best interest like our government does? He's wearing their own insignia on his lab coat with a stethoscope. And he's going to not shill for them? He's going to make unbiased decisions for them? He's going to make decisions for your best interest when he's wearing their insignia on his lab coat and telling you that the science is settled right before your kid dies of organ failure using the vaccine that he said the science was settled on? Look at this one. And this has to do, I believe, where am I at, Will?
Sudden and unexpected.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm glad you caught it because I flipped right over it. All right. We broke the golden rule. Sudden and unexpected video. We broke the golden rule. Pregnant women are already in a state of immunosuppression. So why would you give them a pregnant woman four different vaccinations? Play for me.
Golden rule of pregnancy. Never use an unproven drug in pregnancy and never vaccinate in pregnancy. Never. Never went away during COVID. That golden rule was broken. The last people that should get new drugs, unproven drugs, or vaccines should be pregnant women and the fetus inside them. They should be 10, 15 years out if you've got a wonderful new vaccine to use. Polio would not have been given to pregnant mothers in the early days. Not a chance. And actually has been discouraged ever since. You don't vaccinate pregnant mothers. It's medical malpractice. Why have we allowed ourselves to do a medical malpractice, ostensibly recommending it? And what has been the result? What has been the result? Well, Pfizer knew the results just as things were rolling out. They did a post-marketing analysis. And in their post-marketing analysis, there was about 300 people that they didn't tell you what happened to the other 270 or so. They didn't give the answer back, but they did give the answer for 29 pregnant mothers. And the 29 pregnant mothers that they gave the answer to, what happened to the pregnancy? And it's published. It's part of the 75,000 pages of Pfizer data. And the published data by Pfizer showed that of the 29 pregnancies that they were willing to say what the results were, and the others that they hid, 28 out of 29 lost the pregnancy. A horrific number. 97% of the fetuses were lost of those 29 that they were willing to tell us about. Of course, they weren't really willing to tell us about it because they thought that these data would be hidden for 75 years. But the truth, when Dr. Naomi Wolf and others got to the truth, is that this cache of dear families who lost the ability to have this child in a ratio like that, 97% in that group lost. The actual real-world data, where it's really being spoken of and proven, hospital systems in Florida, hospital systems in other parts of the states that are being honest about it, show that 50 to 67% of pregnancies, while the woman has received the vaccine while pregnant, 50 to 67% of those pregnancies are lost, either early or late. Incredible numbers. Anyone in the obstetrical units really knows the truth. They've seen stillbirth numbers that are obscene. They've seen early pregnancy losses, extra bleeding, spontaneous bleedings, and spontaneous abortion losses that have happened that are obscene numbers. And this is what happens when you break the golden rule of pregnancy. Do never break the golden rule of pregnancy. Do not vaccinate, and especially do not vaccinate with a toxic spike protein into a viable human who's only this big. A little viable human that's only this big, and nanoparticles take the toxic stuff across through the placenta and into the cord and into the baby and into the baby's brain.
All right, so there you go. And you just look at these numbers here. You look at the numbers from, and this again, Peter Navarro has publicly stated that Anthony Fauci lied and Anthony Fauci and Pfizer lied to Donald Trump about their vaccinations. First of all, calling them a vaccination. They're not a vaccination. They're a gene-altering drug. It's not a vaccination. And most Americans, when this poll was put out, most Americans, if they were told that it was a gene therapeutic, i.e. a gene-altering drug, never would have taken it. Not one, even not Democrats or Republicans. So Donald Trump was lied to. But the strange thing is, he's got Borla at the White House today. Albert Borla. This is Albert Borla. Because he's talking about the Pfizer statistics here. Who knows exactly? The Modernas, I guarantee, are exactly the same. Again, Moderna partnered with the NIH in a fascistic partnership. But anyway, so you look at the pure numbers here with what happened here, just with pregnancies. And this was, and you had Rochelle Walensky out there whoring herself, pipping the vaccines to pregnant women. Specifically, it's almost as if it's on purpose for genocidal purposes. As you have the head of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, going out and doing numerous press conferences, pimping this to pregnant women when this was the actual result that she either knew or should have known about. When you had 300 pregnant women in the vaccine, in the Pfizer vaccine trials, the very trials they wanted to keep classified for 75 years, but they lost in federal court. So they got exposed. This material would not be available to us for another 70 years from right now if we'd lost in federal court, but now it's available to us. How is Pfizer even still in business is my question. When you have 300 pregnant women in the study who took the vaccination. Now, what happened to all 300? Nobody knows. How are these people not in prison? What happened to the other? Are the women dead? Are the babies and the women dead? Are just the women dead? Or just the babies dead? Which one is it? Because all they chronicled out of the 300 pregnant women were 29 of them. So what about the other 271 women? What about them? Where are they at? They only chronicled because, get this, everybody. They must have believed this was the best material they had because this is what they allowed out. They must have considered this to be the most palatable material. The most acceptable material was that 28 out of 29 women miscarried. So what happened? Was it really 299 out of 300 miscarried? Because they hid the other 271 women. So they just took a little block of it, of basically 30 women, and 28 out of 29 women miscarried. And you know how they designated those miscarriages? Spontaneous abortions. Do you know how they actually categorized them? Naturally resolved. A vaccine ailment, but naturally resolved. So the person had a vaccine side effect, and they actually put it down. Negative vaccine side effect for the 28 out of 29 women who miscarried. They had a negative vaccine side effect, not the miscarriage. They were having bad symptoms from the vaccine. And when they spontaneously aborted, had their miscarriage, they put it down as naturally resolved. That's what happened. And then all of these monsters pimped and whored this vaccines, including many pastors from their pulpits. And to this day, it's 50 to 67% of all vaccine, of all the women who receive this vaccination have miscarried. 50 to 67%. And the people think it's over now, right? Go to the next one for me. This will be the last one I do. Cincinnati Children's Hospital denies heart. This was J.D. Vance relative, I believe. Cincinnati, this older story, see February 12th. Cincinnati, but I had to put it out just in case people missed it. Cincinnati Children's Hospital denies heart transplant. Look at the date on the bottom. Aaron, what's that date?
February 12th, 2025.
Is this over then?
Nope.
Okay.
Eight days ago.
Cincinnati Children's Hospital denies heart transplant to 12-year-old girl related to J.D. Vance because she's not vaccinated against COVID to this freaking day. And you saw what the vaccines did to unborn children, let alone everybody else. All right, I'll end it right there. That's okay, good. Man, I don't want to. I got so much on this freaking vaccine stuff. But the good news is Trump is looking to outlaw, and I believe that he will. Rumble Rants, Robin Aroni, $20. Tammy L. Margaret, $10. Order in the Court, $10. Jules, 21 hours, $5. Dave Souders, $5. Love you guys. Love you so much in the Rumble Rant. Thank you so much. Seriously, thank you so much. Love you guys all in the chat, too. Appreciate you guys. Back here tomorrow night for the Friday night show to wrap up the week. Right at 9 o'clock, as always. Love each and every one of you. See you tomorrow night. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.